supporters for California-based Current TV, which was co-founded by Al Gore. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Shanghai.
French authorities are searching for the man who fired a BB gun near a nursery school in Lyon today. Authorities say he injured nearly a dozen adults. No children were hurt. The former Nazi concentration camp guard, whose U.S. citizenship was revoked and was deported yesterday, is in Austria and a free man. The Austrian Justice Ministry said today that Josias Kumpf cannot be prosecuted in that country for taking part in the massacre of thousands of Jews in Nazi-occupied Poland in 1943. A spokesman says a statute of limitations on Kumpf's crimes had run out, and she adds the U.S. was aware of that. Kumpf was deported to Austria because it was a country from which he came when he arrived in the U.S. in the 1950s. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Annenberg Foundation, opening a digital and print photography space in Los Angeles at annenbergspaceforphotography.org.
News from NPR is made possible by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Support for today's broadcast comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. Dedicated to preserving our planet, the Subaru Assembly Plant in Lafayette, Indiana, achieved zero landfill status with nothing from its manufacturing efforts going into a landfill. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910.
Good morning and welcome to hour number two of Focus 580, the second hour of our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for the show, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, Jason Croft is at the controls this morning. Coming up next month on April 7th, people in Urbana will have the opportunity to vote on a property tax increase to benefit the Urbana Park District. Officials say that this increase, which would be 15 cents for every $100 of assessed property value, they say that it will make it possible to continue to offer a broad range of services and also, among other things, to begin planning for a new pool for Crystal Lake. They say if that referendum does not succeed, that program cuts will have to be made. We wanted to give folks in Urbana an opportunity to ask questions about this referendum, and we have two folks here in the studio who will take those questions. Vicki Mays, she is the executive director of the Urbana Park District, and Michael Walker, he's the president of the Urbana Park District Board. And this is an opportunity, as I say, this is an opportunity for people in Urbana who will be voting on this question to ask questions about what the district is asking for, what they're going to do with the money, why it is they need it. Any and all of that is certainly welcome, and I'm hoping that people will take the opportunity to do that. Here in Champaign-Urbana, the number 333-9455, I guess I'll give the toll-free number too, but you shouldn't need to do that if you're calling from Urbana, and that is 800-222-9455. So at any point here, people who are listening, you have questions and comments, you just pick up the telephone and you give us a call. Well, thanks very much for being here.
Glad to be here this morning.
We certainly appreciate it.
And thank you for having us.
It's just as one way of starting out the conversation here, this is now the second attempt to pass a referendum in about a year. And that the last one, I believe, was in February of last year. And at that time, what you were asking for was 25 cents.
That's correct.
And I guess just from talking informally with people about this, the impression that I got was that a lot of the folks that voted no, it wasn't because they didn't support the idea of the parks. It wasn't because they had something against the Urbana Park District. The feeling, I think, of a lot of people was that it was just too much, that you overshot a little bit. So understandably here now you're coming back with a little bit less. I'm interested, would you talk about how it is you arrived at maybe, I don't know if you don't want to revisit the past, but how did you arrive at that figure at 25 cents? And now how is it you're thinking about this 15?
The board has studied this for the last year with our advisory committee, and the 25 cents allowed a really aggressive preventive maintenance program, some expanded services. It also allowed for a renovated or new pool for Crystal Lake Park. Because the board is very concerned about the economic climate, they really wanted to be very cautious. This is the smallest amount of rate increase that will allow us to maintain our current level of services, without cutting anything or reducing anything.
And I would point out that our current level of services is actually reduced from what it was 10 years ago. I mean, when we first went under tax caps. I mean, we've certainly been making budget cuts all along. This is what we need in order to keep services up at about what people have been seeing the last year or two.
Mm-hmm. And how much money overall would you expect this? How much additional money would you expect this to generate?
We would expect $850,000 roughly a year additional funds that would be coming in. And those funds would be targeted to maintaining the existing services, catching up with a lot of deferred maintenance. We've been a park district for 100 years. We have a lot of infrastructure needs that are pretty old now that need to be cared for. It would be allow for the planning of a Crystal Lake pool or a future pool, outdoor pool for the community. It would allow us to have money for matching grants. Right now, we don't even have enough money to get grants because we don't have the match for it. It would allow us to do energy efficiency projects. And it would allow us to continue replacing outdated and unsafe playgrounds, planning for a future maintenance facility for the district, and continue doing small improvements to neighborhood and community parks.
Uh-huh. How does how would this rate compare with the tax rates for other park districts here in our area? Do you know?
Our rate is higher, and will continue to be. But the Urbana's Park District's tax rate has been higher than Champaign's for decades, in point of fact. We also have more parkland per capita than Champaign does. Champaign is facing its own set of challenges. You may be aware that facing some difficulties keeping up with the growth that they have and making sure that they get new parkland available there. So we've had more in Urbana since the 70s than in Champaign, that is, per capita. And it takes a little more money to make that go.
I would point out one of the things Michael is fond of saying is that we have a lot of natural areas. We have almost a third of the land that we have in parkland is natural areas. And it's very people think, well, it's natural. You don't need to spend a lot of money on it. But that's not correct. Yesterday, Meadowbrook Park, we had a team of about 2 dozen people that were burning the prairie. People have to go out and take out invasives by hand. So there is a lot of maintenance to natural areas, and it has to be kept up. So it does have a cost.
All right. Well, we already have some callers here. Why don't we do that? Bring them into the conversation. We have two ready to go, and we'll start with line number one right here in Urbana. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Inside the lobby of the pool, there's a chart that has information on it about the taxes. And it says something about the limiting rate. Is the present limiting rate is $2,911,089. And then it says they hope to have a higher limiting rate, $3,737,416. So I just want to know what all that means.
That's a really good question. What you are describing is the exact words that will be on the ballot that people will actually vote on. The limiting rate, that $2 million, I'm sorry, didn't write down the number that you said, but the $2 million number is the total amount of money in the extension that would be coming to the park district, and that's the amount that's limited there. It's very complicated, but that is actually the words that you will see on the ballot. The limiting rate is a rate that was established when the tax cap laws were implemented that restricts the total amount of money a district under tax caps can receive each year. And so what will happen is the 15 cents that the park district is asking, if approved by the voters, will be added to the current tax rate for the park district as of your taxes beginning in May 2010. And we don't know what that exactly will be, because there's a lot of things that happen in the next year and a half. But that ballot information is what is required by law. That's how it has to read. And it's a really complicated question. I'm happy to talk with anybody about it if they would call me at my office, which is 367-1536. But it is very complicated. That is the actual ballot.
Well, I still don't know what this all means. Does limiting rate, does that mean the total amount of money that could be given to the park district? Is that what it means?
That is correct. We are limited in the total amount of money for those of our funds that are controlled by the tax cap legislation. And that number is allowed to expand each year by the Consumer Price Index, or 5%, whichever is less.
So we do
get some additional money each year. We have gotten some additional money each year under the tax cap situation. But the effect on our taxes has been far more severe on the Park District than most other local agencies, for reasons that also are a little difficult to explain. But the Urbana Park District tax rate has dropped 20 cents in the 11 years of tax caps. Rate has dropped 20 cents. Our tax rate has dropped 22%. The school district's tax rate has dropped only 14%. The city of Urbana has dropped their tax rate, although they are not actually controlled by tax caps, about 8%. But the really crucial thing, as far as I think, to let people get a handle on this is, in 1997, out of every dollar that you paid in local property taxes, the Park District got 9.7 cents. Last year, the Park District got 8.6 cents. Our share of your local property tax dollar has shrunk significantly in that time. And there are reasons why the Park District share has shrunk faster than other agencies. It's shrunk faster than school districts. It's shrunk faster than the cities. But basically, it gets down to, if we're going to have parks and services at the level that people have become accustomed to in this community.
Well, my taxes, $207 went to the park district, and then I'm also paying $221 to use the swimming pool. That's a lot of money.
Many of the programs that have a special user population. For example, the people that come to the swimming pool, or people that have their children in day camps, or people that reserve a shelter, pay an additional fee for the special use of that. What your tax money does is pay for the basic construction and operation of all the parks. So your tax money really basically takes care of the swimming pool, mowing the parks, keeping the restrooms going. And if you want to rent a shelter, which is a special use, people pay just a little bit more for that opportunity. And so the users pay a little bit more for the ability to use it than those people that don't have immediate use but are enjoying the value of their community's assets by having wonderful parks and wonderful recreation facilities within the community.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have another caller here, and others are certainly welcome to call. Let me introduce again our guests, Vicki Mays. She is the executive director of the Urbana Park District, and Michael Walker is here as well. He is the president of the Urbana Park District Board. There will be a referendum on the ballot for folks in Urbana on April 7th, and you'll be asked to vote up or down on a property tax increase that would benefit the Park District. And we wanted to give folks here an opportunity to ask questions about it. And that's what we're doing. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. That's the number to call. We have someone else. This is another Urbana caller, and it's line number two.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I don't think people in Urbana are against the Park District, but or Lytle Pool for that matter, or the Crystal Lake Pool or anything like that. I think what they're upset about is having their taxes increased again. I mean, we have the governor right now talking about increasing taxes and school districts. You know, it seems like every time we turn around, someone wants to increase our taxes. And Urbana has probably a much higher tax rate than Champaign has traditionally over the years. And I think what taxpayers are asking for now is can you think of other ways to bring in money besides going back to the voters all the time? And time and time again, every time it gets turned down, it seems like they come back again to raise our taxes. And I think they're just been taxed to death here. And, you know, that's not the way to do things.
Well, go ahead.
Well, a couple of things. First off is under this tax cap legislation, you know, we've pretty much gotten in a situation where our ability to increase taxes and get additional money has been severely limited. It's been more limited to the Park District than it has to other agencies, and it's a pretty long story to explain all of that. But let me also say that Champaign County is the only county out of a – if you look at the adjacent counties and any of the counties that come within 10 miles of the Champaign County border, there are, I believe, a total of 10 counties. The one and only county in that group that has tax caps is Champaign County. If it were not for the tax cap legislation and that being passed by the voters in the county as a whole, even though it did not gain a plurality in Urbana, we wouldn't be here having this discussion. People's taxes would have gone up, but we were under rate limits to begin with, and we would have lived within those rate limits. And yes, people's taxes would have gone up a little more than they have, but we wouldn't be here trying to pass a referendum. And I'm just saying, you know, the Park District has been shrunk in its capacity relative to the other agencies in this community. And it's a decision point now for the community. Do parks remain a valuable service and amenity that the voters are willing to support? And that's what we're asking for here.
Over the last 10 years, the Park District has really tried to reduce and control its services and the cost of its services. It has done belt tightening year after year after year. And quite honestly, we are here asking the voters to help us with this choice, because there cannot be any more belt tightening without a really dramatic cut in services. And so this is the opportunity for a choice for people.
I think you're missing my point. For example, you're talking about putting in a whole new pool. Would other alternatives, like putting in a new liner or something like that, be the way to go? Instead of raising people's taxes, maybe look at other alternatives, like starting some type of a foundation where people, you know, in their will can leave money and things like that. These are, you know, thinking outside the box of raising money in addition to just going back to the taxpayers all the time and saying, oh, gee, I need, you know, 50 cents here and a dollar there, and, you know, per assessment. And basically make it so people can no longer afford to pay their taxes on their home and have to sell it and move somewhere else. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I see my tax bill every year, my eyes get really huge, because it is unbelievable to come up with that kind of money and pay that tax bill each and every year, knowing that next year it's going to go up again.
The Park District does have a foundation. It's a fledgling foundation that has been in existence for just a little bit more than a year. So that is an opportunity. One of the restrictions that we have is that we don't even have the ability at this point to accumulate enough money to apply for grants, all of which need to have a match. And so there has been a lot of thinking out of the box. You can always be more creative and find other ways. But the Park District is at the place it is now that we do have to ask our citizens, are these services important, or do you want to pay more taxes to hold on to them or not? And it's really a very important question for our citizens to help answer.
And I would like to say I believe the Park District has watched its dollars pretty carefully over the years. We don't have, for example, a boardroom for the board members to meet in. If you, now, I'm not knocking the school district in the city, but they have rooms dedicated to that purpose. We use an all-purpose room in the Nature Center, and we sit on stacking plastic chairs. I mean, that's just the way we operate. We burn wood from the clearing dead limbs and dead trees in the parks when those are cut down, and that wood is hauled to our operations center, and it's burned to help heat the place. We try to run an economical operation here and put as many of the dollars out in the field where people are going to see them as possible.
I hope that the caller will forgive me for getting in here because I have some other folks I want to get onto. But I guess it's understandable. The frustration of the caller is understandable, and that's really the thing that you're going up against. And admittedly, this is a terrible time. As if any time is a good time to ask people for to increase their taxes, but now it's got to be one of the worst times ever. I don't know how it is you go make the argument, or maybe you make it as you did, Vicky. You said, "Well, okay, it's up to you. You have a choice. You know, you can say yes, you can say no, but then you have to decide. Well, you know, are the parks important and are continued services important and." You know,
there's some really critical things that keep a community, a livable community, and very viable. We know that people are healthier if they live close to a park, particularly close to a park that they can walk to. That's a research that's been done by the Center for Disease Control and so many other national or health organizations. So the health of our community means good parks that people can get to. Right now in the economy, one of the things that is really important for people is to be able to have good quality, close to home, free or inexpensive services. And our parks and recreation facilities provide that. And the third thing is that one of the things that helps maintain the value of our homes in our community and to bring more people into our community, particularly for our university community, is to have good quality parks. It helps hold home values, and it also helps bring more people into the community. So the health, the need to have close to home activities, and holding on to the value of our community are all three things that parks and recreation services contribute.
Well, maybe I promise I have other callers here I want to get onto, but perhaps I should ask this question. Well, if this referendum should fail, what are you going to do?
The board has struggled with this over the last year and has used the been asking for the advice of citizens that they've been at all park activities all throughout the year. They've been working with our advisory committee. But what it means is that we will have to reduce our level of services pretty dramatically. As much as six positions would have to be eliminated. And those positions are positions that help mow the grass, deliver all of our special events like Turkey Trot and Strawberry Jam, and provide pick up the trash, clean the restrooms, all of those things that we think of as basic services, but it will be a really dramatic increase. Our park district is 100 years old. That means we've got infrastructure that's 100 years old, and all of that infrastructure needs to be taken care of. And we have one emergency after another because of the age of our infrastructure. And we need to take care of that, and that comes at the cost of services. So it's really a dramatic decrease in services.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that the parks are going away. They won't, but you will see something very different in the years to come if we do not have some additional money to keep them up in the way that people have become accustomed to. We might, for example, have to use porta potties not just in the winter in Meadowbrook and Crystal Lake, but in the summer as well. And so we don't have to go out there and run a crew on a daily basis to clean restrooms and so on. I mean, and the mowing level going down. We have enormous issues with trees that are going to need work. There are 300 ash trees in the park district property that are, when the borers come over from McLean County, we're going to have to start getting rid of most of those, and it's going to be a big time operation to do. I mean, and these are natural infrastructure. There's also, of course, the issue of bridges, roads, and the buildings that we have to take care of as well.
All right. Well, let's talk with some other callers. We have next someone in Urbana in line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I apologize for my gravelly voice. I'm not feeling well today, but anyway, I'm actually kind of sad to hear some of the frustration that people are talking about with reference to this. I sometimes wonder if people think that the Park District is not using their money intelligently, or perhaps they're being greedy. I don't know. I wonder at the source of some of this frustration that I hear. I understand that Urbana taxes are high, but I guess I don't know. I feel like, to me, it's actually pretty obvious. It is a result of the tax caps, and if you can visualize on the radio a graph, there's a line on the bottom that is the revenue that's coming in, and it's rising slightly, and there's a line on the top that's the expenses, and it's rising more. And as you know, as time goes by, these two lines begin to diverge more and more. The one on the bottom just continues to kind of practically flatline, and the one on top keeps going up. And it's kind of a no-brainer that if the one on top keeps going up, you're going to have to bring it back down if you don't get an increase in revenue. So I guess that's my understanding of the issue, and I'm sad that people seem so frustrated and distrustful of the Park District's motives in this.
One of the things that causes that top line to go up so dramatically are things that we have no control over. We are one of the largest employers of young people in Champaign County. We have about 300 seasonal positions. Most of those positions are filled by young people between the ages of 15 and 24. And most of them work at a little above minimum wage. And minimum wage has increased dramatically in the last 3 years, which has a huge impact on every other person that's within the Park District. One of our biggest commodities is gasoline, because we have a whole lot of parks that need to be mowed. So you're exactly right that cost of providing services has gone up and up and up much more dramatically than the new tax funds that we receive.
And we're unlike the city. We really basically our only tax source is the local property tax. We do not have a utility tax, fuel tax, any of those sorts of things. It's basically just the personal property tax, mm-hmm, that people pay in.
Well, that's kind of what I was hoping that people think, okay, your taxes are going up, so why do you need more tax? But I think the issue is that the expenses are going up at a far greater rate than the taxes, and that gap just keeps growing and growing.
And one of the things that's really important is that your tax dollars that you pay to the Park District are reinvested right here in our community. It doesn't go far away. It stays right here, but with local businesses, with hiring the kids that live and work in the community and go to school here. It's buying supplies and equipment. Everything that comes to the Park District through its property taxes is reinvested right here in this community. It doesn't go any place else. It doesn't go to Springfield. It doesn't go to Washington. It doesn't go to another state. It's right here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hang up now, but I just wanted to say that I think the decision is clear. If you want your parks to be continued the way that they have been in the past, then you need to vote for this if you are willing to accept maybe fewer buildings, fewer amenities, and less service, less programs, that kind of thing, then I think the decision is sort of obvious. And the idea that that the Park District, I've heard and I've read letters and people saying, you know, that they're just over-dramatizing the situation. I think that's just silly. It's crazy. You know, it doesn't make that kind of argument doesn't make sense. So I hope anybody who's listening who's frustrated about this, you know, just realize the situation is real and just, you know, either vote for your park district as you want it to be or vote for one that's going to be significantly reduced. I think that's pretty much the bottom line.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for the call and appreciate your comments. And I hope that you won't mind if I go on because we have some other folks who want to get on the conversation. And we'll go next to another Urbana person. This is line number 3. Hello.
Hi. Yeah. I'm glad the last caller called. I called before he got on and was calling also in frustration of all this sort of negativity and wanted to call and express my support for the great job that the Park District staff and the board have been doing. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to live within walking distance of at least 3 parks, Blair, Carl, and Meadowbrook Park. You know, and spend time on all those places. And, you know, I think that if people just look around at all of the great things the Park District offers us in this community and the way that it enhances our community, I think I agree with the previous caller. It's sort of a no-brainer. I mean, I just got my leisure guide in the mail a day or two ago and was looking through it yesterday and thinking about all the classes that are available for my kids and all the classes that are available for me and the activities, you know, student theater productions this summer and, you know, all of the things that the Park District does for our community. And you know, I also drove by a couple of days ago, drove down a street and saw Victory Park, which I guess I hadn't noticed before, I hadn't paid much attention to before, but I'm eager to head there and saw there was a small rock climbing wall, so I'm eager to get my kids there and have them try that out. So, you know, I think that we, you know, both Champaign and Urbana have great parks and great, you know, if you go to other communities of this size, you sort of see what's, you know, you can see the contrast in what we have here and what is available elsewhere and recognize, you know, what a terrific resource that is for our community. You know, I don't want to pay more money. I can use more money myself, but I also think that we have to recognize that the parks benefit all of us and benefit, you know, our property values and our, you know, the activities that we have here in this community and that we're a part of a community. You know, you can lock yourself in your house and not use any of the resources and not, you know, get, you know, and try to keep yourself from any of the benefits of the great resources in our community, but we are a community and, you know, the only way for that to maintain itself and to maintain the quality of life that we have here is to really kind of help the community and contribute to the community. And if that means, you know, I need to buy one less latte or something every week or, you know, I'm willing to do that. And I hope everybody else in the community would be too.
All right. Well,
I think that's a good point to reinforce. If your home has a market value of $100,000, then the additional taxes that would come from the 15-cent rate increase to the Park District would be $50 a year. So it's pretty easy to figure out what the increase would be. But that is, if for a $100,000 market value home, that is probably less than a latte a week. And the return on that is pretty remarkable. Again, with all the quality parks and things for kids to do and things for adults to do.
And you mentioned Victory Park, and I think that's really just a wonderful renaissance of that neighborhood. I'm not saying the park is the only piece of it, but the project that took place there and the involvement of the neighbors, and that was a three-way finance deal. We did manage to come up with the matching money for that project, but there was also private donations, a significant private donations and a state grant that we were able to match to. And then that combination, the renovations in that park have really contributed to the comeback of that neighborhood. It's really exciting to see.
Can I just, for a second, and then we'll get back to some other callers, I would like to have you talk a little bit about the pool. We know now the pool, the Crystal Lake Pool, is at the end of its life. And I think people have known for a while now that it was getting there. And I think that I read that you were having to spend on repair and maintenance something like $100,000 every year. You'd done that over the last, so over the last 10 years, so you spent $1 million and just trying to keep it going?
It averaged $100,000
a year. So, and the cost, and again, the number that I read, and it's a pretty staggering number, to build, essentially to replace it. $5 million?
Most likely. It would replace a pool, and again, that's an investment in the community that has about a 25 to 30 year life. Pools are expensive to build and operate, but the aquatic services in Urbana are something that the community values because it has supported the Indoor Aquatic Center. And people, quite honestly, are very, very sad and grieving that Crystal Lake Pool is gone.
Sure.
It's a part of the community, so they are expensive.
Well, and just the point I'm making is that some of the money that the referendum would generate would go into the planning process for a new pool. This, even the 25 cents wouldn't have provided enough that you were asking for before. It wouldn't have provided the money to build a new pool.
No, it would.
It would have.
Oh, it would have.
That's why we were asking for that amount of money.
Okay. My question is, you know, where are you going to come up with $5 million to build a new pool?
Well, we figure that if we have a detailed plan and some community buy-in, then we can go out and do some private fundraising, and we can perhaps shop that around for some grants and figure out how much money we got to come up with from the tax base as well, and get a really try to get a solid plan together that the community can rally around, and it might mean coming back to the taxpayers for a bit more money to do that, if the support is there, but we would hope at least. The swimming pools were specifically, by language, excluded from the stimulus package. But if you have some plans that are really ready to go, we hope that that some partial financing options we would be able to find.
Okay. Well, let's talk with some other folks. Next, line two, in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, the last two callers have addressed part of what I wanted to say. I wanted to cast a vote of confidence in the park district. If you go to Anita Purvis at any time during the day, you find it very well utilized there. Classes meeting, groups meeting, various functions going on, as well as all the people using the nature trails and the other facilities there. Meadowbrook Park, the parking lot will be just full all afternoon long on a day like yesterday or the day before. There must be hundreds of people using that facility every day. The parks are a great asset to the community. They contribute to the value of the real estate. And they and the libraries and other civic facilities do so much to raise the quality of life here in Urbana. And when you compare it to other cities in this area, we certainly enjoy a much better quality of life, I think. And it's the reason I stayed here after completing grad school. It's a wonderful community, and the parks are certainly a great part of that. And you've already covered the problem with the swimming pool. It was no longer feasible to repair it. It would have cost more to repair than to rebuild. Facilities that make a community cost money, and to suppose somebody else should just donate this is ridiculous. People pay for what they get, and I think we get a lot for what we pay. Thank you.
I would like to reinforce what the caller just said. We know that on a warm summer day, there are roughly 1,000 people a day that visit Meadowbrook Park and roughly 1,100 people a day that go to Crystal Lake Park. We know that we have an estimated visits to all of Urbana's parks and recreation facilities in the course of a year, a million visits. And
that's excluding the neighborhood parks. Yes. So we're talking the community parks here.
When we did our strategic plan 2 years ago, we did a statistically reliable survey within the community. The firm that did our survey work also did Champaign's. They have done survey work in 500 other communities around the United States. And also could benchmark us against other Big Ten communities. What they found was that 90% of the respondents to the survey had visited one of Urbana's parks and recreation facilities within the year. That's compared to an 85% visit rate with Champaign and a 72% visit rate nationwide. And so the firm told us you must be in the top 3% of the United States in terms of your visits to your parks. And so we know that people really value and appreciate and use our parks.
We are talking this morning in the Smart of Focus 580 with Vicki Mays and Michael Walker. Vicki Mays is the executive director of the Urbana Park District. Michael Walker is the president of the board. And we're talking here because next month on the 7th of April, folks in Urbana will be when they go to vote, they'll be looking at a property tax question to increase the property tax 15 cents for every $100 of assessed value. So on a $100,000 house, that means you'd pay an extra $50. And this would be money that would go to the Park District. And as you have heard them say this morning, they believe that if they're going to continue to provide the services that people have expected, they need to have these increased funds. And if it fails, then there's going to mean a cut in services. And folks here, we're doing this program so Urbana citizens can call in and ask questions and say what they think one way or another. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. And we do have some others. And next we'll talk with a caller on line one. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
I have two questions. One is about the pool. I was wondering, why wasn't there a plan in place for a new pool before the old one closed? And my second question is, since the tax caps of 1997, have there been a budget deficit for any of the years? And if so, for how many years? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
The Park District is required by law to have a balanced budget. So we do not have a budget deficit. We have to balance our expenses with the income that we have regardless. So there has never been a time when there was a budget deficit. In regards to Crystal Lake Pool, When we did our strategic plan 2 years ago, we did a market analysis and an evaluation of could the community continue to support a pool and should we build another one. And the results of that was, yes, the community would support a pool, could support a pool, and we should renovate or replace this pool. And so in February of 2008, the Park District filed a referendum rate increase of 25 cents, which did include enough funding for a new pool. And so the planning had begun, but the pool did not last long enough for us to get to the point that we could implement the plan. And planning for pools takes time. So we did have a plan for a pool. We weren't able to follow through with it because the 25-cent rate was not supported. We still hope to have a plan for a future replacement. You know, pools all over the area are closing now. The Windsor Swim Club, the pool in Arthur, the pool in Monticello. Communities that have pools at 25 or 30 years old are all facing the same challenge.
Well, it sounds like from what the caller is saying, and I've heard other people say the same thing, is that surely you would have known that you were coming to the point where you were going to have to replace the pool. So, you know, why didn't you start thinking about that in 2003 or 2004? Would that have been too early?
Well, the answer is that we had been thinking of those things, but you may recall that the Indoor Aquatic Center came online just in that kind of time frame. And yes, we thought we would eke out a few more years from the existing pool. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we commissioned a study brought in after the referendum failed in February of 2008. We commissioned a study coming here, how can we keep this pool going for another 5 years until we can really get everything good to go? And that report was devastating. It was, in fact, in far worse condition than we had projected. And it was in some of it in areas that are not visible, but upon the recommended further testing of that consultant and looking at the electrical situation, it really became obvious that we had genuinely serious issues there. And that's where we are today. We had to shut that down sooner than we expected, but we certainly had known for some time that eventually we were going to have to do something there.
Okay. Another caller here. We'll get at least one more, if not more. This is our Urbana Line 3. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. I wanted to respond to a caller who said that they think that we just support the park districts and it's about the taxes, and I don't think that's exactly the case here because I think there is real resistance to some of the things the park district has been doing, like in Carl Park. I think there's a perception that there was a negligence of pool. The $100,000 a year maintenance is not easily found in the budget. There hasn't been transparency. And I think people are concerned that there's an operational building in place that is slated to go through while all these other cuts are going through, as far as I understand, that the janitorial things would be the things cut rather than administrative salaries. And we can't vote. We can't vote people out of the administration. It's 6-year terms on the board. And there may not be another way to show the frustration with the Park District except voting against this tax thing. And it may be a good thing because it may bring you down to basics. And I agree with people who said Meadowbrook is great. There's a lot of great services. But I think that a lot has been neglected. And I'm going to get off to listen.
All right. Well, you want to respond?
Well, I understand that there are some neighbors in the Carl Park area that are unhappy, particularly with the removal of the old playground equipment. We were in a situation there, and we're going to be facing that in many of the other parks. If you've got a playground that does not meet reasonable standards, you're open to lawsuits if anybody gets hurt on them. That particular playground was also in a situation where we had crews going out 2 and 3 times a month just to keep it from falling apart and being dangerous in that fashion, let alone the design issues. So, I mean, it's a bit much, I think, to say that we've been negligent in looking after things. There's a lot of attention that's needed in Carl Park and many others now that has built up over the years. And some of those are not really obvious when you just look at it from a distance. But we've got great parks. Carl Park's a beautiful place to go to, but we had 3 different arborists through there end up with a plan. We got to take a bunch of trees out of there because, in fact, they're dead or dying and will be a present danger to the community. And if we get a huge lawsuit, that's something that's going to be pretty hard to swallow paying for as well.
Hmm. What percentage of your budget is administration?
I actually can't answer that right off the top of my head, but one of the things that's critical is that the positions that would be cut include 2 administration level positions, or 2 in the administrative work group, 2 in the operational work group, and 2 in the recreational work group, and all of those have a lot of programs and services tied with them. One of the things that we do a lot of is community neighborhood planning. You can see that with the King Park improvements, with the Victory Park improvements, and the Carl Park improvements, and we're starting to work with Southridge Park. It takes a lot of time to talk with neighbors and work with neighbors and help them understand the needs and challenges and listen to their needs and their interests in how to develop a park that serves the neighborhood best. That's one of the most time-consuming things that we do. You can see that in the dog park. You can see that in the challenge of the wonderful prairie play. many of the things that we do take a lot of contact time with the public. That's really intense and very important, I think, to our community to be responsive in that way.
I'm trying to get at least one more caller. We're very short on time. Another Urbana person here, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I just want to say that I don't think it makes sense to accuse the Park District of being negligent and at the same time say that they don't need money. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, all right. You, any further comment you want to make?
Well, you know, I'd just like to say again that the parks in this community are part of. I mean, we talk. Everybody wants a world class university, and to have a world class university, I think you need a community that's going to be able to attract world class scholars into this community, and this is part of having a vibrant park system for all of us.
Let's see if we can get really quickly one more caller here. One last call. This is someone actually in Champaign, I think. Line two. Hello.
I was calling because I was part of a burn, a park burn, when I was in junior college. And that junior college had teamed with the park district to do some of the maintenance. So I was wondering if you guys have any situations where you team up with either Parkland or the University of Illinois to lower your maintenance costs.
Well,
and I'll go ahead and hang up and listen.
All right. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Yesterday, in fact, there was a burn at Meadowbrook Park, and we have people that help us from the University of Illinois surveys, from Parkland College. We work a lot within the community. We're now working with Lincoln's Challenge in out of Rantoul. We have a position that's a volunteer coordinator position, and each month she helps to place thousands of volunteer hours within our park services. We partner with, for example, the Champaign County to use the gym at Brookins, which is a great reuse of a public resource. We partner with the school district to jointly provide sports fields and tennis courts and ball fields. The school district actually uses Park District tennis courts and ball fields and other facilities for their sports teams. So we are a community partner. Weaver Park has an incredible wetland there, and that's a result of a collaboration with six other units of government that solved a major stormwater problem for the community right east of that. And so the collaboration with other units of government and with other organizations and with volunteers is really remarkable. It's probably the greatest of any park system that I worked with.
We're going to have to stop here. We're simply at the end of the time. I'm sure, though, for people who have, if you want more information about the Park District, you can go to their website, urbanaparks.org, or I'm sure that they're interested in your comments and questions. I'm sure through the site, probably people can send emails and communicate like that, or send regular mail, or make calls that you're interested in what people think.
Yes, absolutely. Please do call any of us, visit any of our facilities. There's a great deal of information on the website. And the Leisure Guide just came, should be coming in your mailbox if you haven't received it yet. It will be coming soon, and it's got a great deal of information there.
All right. Vicki Mays, she's the Executive Director of the Urbana Park District. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike Walker, he's the President of the Board of the Park District. Thank you.
And thank you for having us.
Focus 580, our program is supported in part by Bodywork Associates, offering professional licensed massage therapy to Champaign-Urbana since 1982, with four area locations, including one inside the new Activities and Recreation Center north of Memorial Stadium on the U of I campus. More information is at bodyworkassociates.com. That is it for us here on Focus. We want you to stay tuned, though. More coming up as part of the Afternoon Magazine. The host, Celeste Quinn.
Thank you very much, David. Coming up today in the 1 o'clock hour of the program, our guest will be historian Susan Wise Bauer. We'll talk with her about her book, The Art of the Public Grovel. We'll take a look this afternoon at the act of public confession. Susan Wise Bauer will join us following the 1 o'clock news. Let's take a look now at commodity prices in Kansas City. May wheat, 594 and a quarter, down 11 and three quarters. July, 605, down 11 and three quarters. Chicago May wheat, 543 and a half, down 11 and three quarters. July, 556, down 11 and three quarters. May corn, 396 and a half, unchanged. July, 407, unchanged. September, 416 and a quarter, unchanged. December, 428 and a half, up one quarter. May beans, 948 and three quarters, up eight and a quarter. July, 946 and a half, up six and a half. August, 930, up two and three quarters. September, 902, down three quarters. No November, $8.90 and a half down two. May meal, $2.98.70 up $2.40. May oil, $32.32 up $43. Livestock contracts now. April live cattle, $85.37 and a half up $62 and a half. June, $83.10 down $2 and a half. March feeder cattle, $94.17 and a half off $7 and a half. April,